Now, back to the Steve Gerber Show on MTN.
In a white room with black curtains near the station. Black roof country, no gold payments.
You know, so far, Iran has spent about $100 billion on the Syrian war, but it should make you feel better that, you know, America threw in $180 billion as part of Barack Obama's Iran deal to make sure that they didn't run out of cash, because we wouldn't want that to happen, right? Bridget Gabriel here, chairman of Act for America, the largest national security grassroots organization in the U.S. She is the author of two New York Times bestsellers, Because They Hate, A Survivor of Islamic Terror Warns America, and They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam. Bridget, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Delighted to be with you.
Glad to have you here. So Iran is tough as they're supposed to be. The Israelis pounded them into dust, in about 14 hours time here a few days ago on a bombing run after the Iranians tried to send missiles into Israel from their Syrian strongholds. That didn't last very long, did it?
No, it did not last very long. And good for the Israelis. They did exactly what they needed to do to send a very strong message to Iran that this will not be tolerated. And, you know, Iran wanted to huff and puff and show President Trump that, hey, we don't care about you canceling the agreement. We don't care about you. We're going to retaliate. We're going to show you how strong we are. So they huffed and puffed, and the Israelis silenced them immediately.
Yeah, and they got smashed like a cockroach, which is good.
Because Steve, I mean, Iran has such a base in Syria that is a major threat. Iran was basically establishing Syria as a base of terror operation to destabilize the whole Middle East. Iran wants to establish hegemony in the Middle East. So it used Syria to the point where Iran has 13 military bases in Syria, and their major command center is by the Damascus airport because they realized that the airport obviously is the last place to fall. So this is exactly why Israel had to bomb multiple locations in Syria and basically destroy the command center right next to the airport.
So let me ask you this. You say Iran had, you know, all of these military bases in Syria. I don't think they have doodly squat in Syria anymore. I think the Israelis said they hit every single item on their list. Every single item on their list was hit and pulverized.
Good. Yes. And I believe the Israelis, look, the Israelis are watching this. After all, their neck is on the line. Right now, Iran can reach them much more than they can reach us. And Israel knows that Iran basically was using Syria as a conduit to pass weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon. Actually, Iran even had Hezbollah fighters from Lebanon, around 10,000 of them fighting for Iran and alongside the Al-Quds force and the Revolutionary Guards in Syria. So, yes, Israel, I am sure, bombed enough to make sure they paralyzed their operation in Syria. Now, that does not mean that Iran cannot still use Syria to basically send weapons from Iraq through Syria and into Lebanon supporting Hezbollah. So basically, the threat to Israel from Hezbollah in Lebanon on the northern border of Israel is still just as strong. It just means that Iran cannot launch missiles directly from Syria into Israel.
Yeah. Don't think Iran can do much of anything. You know, for a military that's been so highly touted, they looked pretty impotent, I think, is a fair way to put it. Meanwhile, you've got a changing of what's going on over there, because you've got countries like Saudi Arabia who have now said quite clearly, Israel has a right to exist and to defend itself. Bahrain said the same thing. So did a handful of other countries in the Middle East. Donald Trump has changed the entire narrative, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. They feel empowered now that they have basically an ally that they can trust in the United States. Plus, here's the problem, Steve. Remember, the majority of the Middle East is Sunni. So you've got the Bahrain Sunni, Arab Emirates is Sunni, Saudi Arabia is Sunni, Egypt is Sunni, Jordan is Sunni. So the only Shiite in the Middle East are basically in Iran. That's where they are. A little bit of them in Iraq and a little bit of them in Syria, and the rest a little little bit of them in Lebanon. This is exactly why Iran is using only these locations. And, of course, Syria is in shambles. It really doesn't amount to anything. Lebanon is in shambles. Iraq, you know, it's teetering on not being a stable country. So
well,
this is why
not,
the Sunni bloc, which has been ignored and snubbed down by the Obama administration, is working now with America and with Israel. Who would have thought that the Saudis are going to allow the Israelis to use their airspace, and the Saudis would come out and say, okay, we agree that Israel has a right to exist.
And
so
to defend itself.
So you can see that the new generations of Saudis who are very, the new leadership, the new prince, is worried about the direction, especially with Iran becoming so powerful, and that's why they're strengthening their alignment with the United States and also working with Israel.
Right, and but you know, I want to go back to Iraq. Iraq really isn't a whole country anymore. I mean, the Kurds control an entire section of the country. Iraq will never be a whole country ever again in the future. That's over, in my estimation. Iraq will not be the country it was prior to the war.
No, it will not, because Iraq was gripped together by Saddam Hussein, just like Libya was gripped together by Gaddafi. When people look at the Middle East, and this is what I write about in my first book titled Because They Hate, I say, when you look at the Middle East, when you're looking at countries, you're looking at tribes with flags. Every country is a different tribe, and there are different tribes within a country. So it's not like in America when we think about a country and, you know, their flag, and everybody's patriotic and they all gather under their flag. It doesn't work that way. You're looking at tribes, each country basically ruled by either one dictator or one royal family. So when you look at Iraq, for example, and like you looked at Libya, for example, Libya is basically three different cities that were controlled and held together by Gaddafi, three different tribes. When you look at Iraq, for example, the Sunnis were the minority. So you had Saddam Hussein, who was a Sunni, basically holding together and controlling the country by force. Now, he was a secularist. He wasn't as devout Muslim. He used Islam or the religion, you know, he touted his religion when he wanted to get through to his people. But he wasn't as devout, let's say, as the Saudis or as the Shiites in Iran. And so this is exactly why he stood and protected the Christians. This is exactly what Assad is doing in Syria, because he's not that devout. He is the protector of the Christians. And that's why when Iraq fell apart, when we got rid of Saddam Hussein, the Muslims came out after the Christians. Over 500,000 Christians left Iraq since we supposedly liberated Iraq. And this is why Iraq will never be the same as it was under Saddam Hussein.
That's right. Bridget Gabriel here, chairman of ACT for America, the largest national security grassroots organization in the country. Bridget, a lot of things changing. This president has changed the conversation for sure. We've got about 20 seconds here. I'll give you the last word.
The president changed a lot, and we've got a lot of changing to do as well. This is why we as citizens in America must be engaged and involved in seeing how our voice can make a difference. I encourage people to join us. Go to actforamerica.org and join us. Education is important, but we must act as well and support the president in his policies. Make sure you call your elected officials and get involved. All information is on our website to make you the most effective citizen making a difference for our country. Go to actforamerica.org and get involved.
Bridget, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bridget Gabriel, chairman of Act for America. If you hadn't figured that part out, I think she might have covered that for you. Quick break. We're going to go over a list of promises made by the president before he was elected and see how he's done. How about that? We're going to go down a list, Ivy and I are, right after the break here on the Steve Gruber Show.